Psalm 103. Let's read through it first, as familiar as the Psalm of David. It is a beautiful psalm. There are no requests in this psalm to the Lord. There is only a request, David requesting something of his own soul, talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. No ideas yet? We're going to bless the Lord anyway. That's what the psalm says. Forget not his benefits when things are humming in the background. The first six verses talk to us about the Lord's benefits. David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And David had a ability in and of himself, as we all do, to forget the Lord's benefits from time to time. He lists them here, what those benefits are, and he begins with, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Interesting, not who forgiveth all thy sins, but who forgiveth all thine iniquities, speaking of the inward problem in man. Our nature is iniquitous. Iniquity is the thing that's in us. It means to be twisted or to be warped or to be bent. And David remarkably says, Lord, it isn't just that you have forgiven the things that I have done. And David, of course, had fallen into sin. David had committed murder. David had all kinds of hardship within his family. We think of the tremendous heartache of the fruit of his rebellion and his sin, and in his own family there was incest between Amnon and his half-daughter Tamar, his half-sister Tamar, and then murder as Absalom killed his brother Amnon, and then as Absalom tried to take over the kingdom, and the remarkable agony of those relationships breaking down and disintegrating. Thank you. You don't know what it was. Thank you, Lord. But David said, it's not just that, it's that thing within me. You know, I have those thoughts. I have angry thoughts. I have lustful thoughts. I have selfish thoughts. I have proud thoughts. I have this thing that goes on. There's this traitor that lives within that I wrestle with all the time, Lord. And when I think of your benefits, Lord, I am always in wonder, Lord, that you forgive all my iniquity, not just what it produces, the actions that are produced by the warped nature that I have, but that nature in and of itself, Lord, is under your covering and it's under your forgiveness. Who forgiveth all of my iniquities, who healeth all of my diseases. And the Lord has always done that. I'm 52 years old. The Lord has always healed all of my diseases. I've never died. Every time I've been sick, I've gotten better. Here I am. We take that for granted. That's remarkable. Think of it. The machine that he's made, what functions to have us here, going through the flu, going through chickenpox, going through cancer, going through difficulty. Imagine if they made an automobile that did that. Imagine coming home from work and having my wife say, and she's done this, it wasn't my fault. What wasn't your fault? The other guy, he was a knucklehead. He wasn't looking where he was going. Yeah, I pulled in front of him, but he slammed right into the side of me. And you go out and the front fender's all bashed in and there's a scrape, you know, an inch deep all the way down the side of the car. And imagine if I could just say, don't worry about it, honey. Just pull in the garage and let it sit there for a few weeks. It'll get better. And then imagine going out there 3 weeks and it's all healed up. New paint, the dent's gone, fender's repaired. That's remarkable. Who healeth all of my diseases? We take it for granted. The remarkable spacesuit that we live in. David says, don't forget his benefits, who healeth all diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, literally from waste. I don't know about you, my life was a waste before I was saved. And I was working hard at it. I had my life at least 80% wasted by the time Jesus saved me. I was doing a wonderful job wasting my life. But he redeemeth our lives from being a waste, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth, literally it's who satisfy your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, who satisfies your desires with good things. And the world satisfied my desires with the wrong things. And they didn't satisfy, but the world held out everything that it holds out to us that appeals to our carnal nature of pleasure, of being inebriated with one thing or another. The Lord satisfies us with good things. Isn't it interesting to be saved now and to think, hey, I like singing Silent Night. I actually like it. I like the words. I like coming to church. You know, I never thought that I would let, you know, come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Your family thinks you're in a cult. You go to church 3 times a week? They have you drinking Kool-Aid up there? What's going on up in that place anyway? What is going on there? You know, Rawl had a woman who got saved in his church and started to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and to the women's study on Thursday night, and her husband was certain she was having an affair with Rawl, with the preacher. So on Sunday morning in the middle of the service, he stands up with a pistol. I'm sorry. Just, you know, that's a situation you don't want to have to talk yourself out of there on Sunday morning in front of the congregation, but they calmed them down and they convinced them. I think the guy finally got saved and now he goes to church 3 times a week. He satisfies our soul with good things, with fellowship, prayer. And the interesting thing now is, as we go through these benefits, look, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. The Hebrew grammar is speaking of the soul. Certainly He heals us physically and He blesses us with good things. But speaking of that inward man who forgiveth all your twistedness, my consciousness, my soul, who healeth all thy diseases. And there are diseases of the soul. As there is cancer of the body, there is cancer of the soul. Bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred and bigotry, variance, slander. There are diseases that get into the soul. Who healeth all thine diseases? Speaking, O my soul. How that He changes us from within, how that He works. He satisfies our inward desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That's what He's saying, Lord, O my soul, don't forget all of the benefits of the Lord. You know, He forgives all of that twisted stuff inside you wrestle with all the time. And not only that, He heals all of the diseases of the soul. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And all of these remarkable things, and David has to remind himself not to forget, because we do that. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to be there forever. I'm going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're driving down the street and somebody hits our back fender or we get a flat tire. And you know what happens? We forget all His benefits. A minute ago, we were going to heaven. We were spending eternity with Jesus. We're going to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we have a flat tire, and our life is ruined. We've quickly forgotten. We get this spiritual amnesia. Charles Spurgeon said that we write our blessings in the sand, and we engrave our complaints in marble. That we write our blessings in the sand, but we engrave our complaints in marble. David is saying to himself, don't forget the goodness of the Lord. Now, evidently, the Lord said to David, hey, write this down. Write this down, because they're all like you. This is going to be good for them. You know, I find that there's enough David in me that I can relate to this pretty easily. And the Lord said, you need to write this one down, David. They're all like you. They forget all my benefits fairly easily also. Now, He gives us this list of benefits, and in verse 7 He begins to move to something that is so beautiful, and that is the ways of God. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. He made known His ways unto Moses. Moses had said this, now therefore I pray thee, in Exodus, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. Show me your way, that I might know thee. And then he would say, let me see your glory. And Moses is saying, you know, Lord, look, you know, here's a guy who's been the pastor of the largest congregation we've ever known about, 2 to 3 million people. He's led them for 40 years through the wilderness. He's seen the Red Sea part. He's seen the pillar of fire. He's seen the pillar of cloud. He's seen manna, thousands of tons of manna falling every day for years. He's seen rock, the water coming out of a rock in the wilderness, a miracle after miracle after miracle. And now he stands there and he says, Lord, show me your ways that I might know you. You know, there's something behind all of this. You know, you're just not bringing frogs up and you're not just doing these things, Lord, to demonstrate your ability to do things. There's something driving all of this. There's something behind it, Lord. Let me see your heart. I want to know your ways. And it says the children of Israel knew the works of the Lord, but Moses knew His ways. And I think sometimes you and I, you know, we can say, well, I believe this about, yeah, this is what I believe about redemption. Oh, this is what I believe about, this is what I believe about the Holy Spirit. This is what I believe about prophecy. This is what I believe about eternal security. And we can kind of, we can categorize His works and yet be cold. I can, in my own prayer life, in my own time alone with Him. that I can be familiar with his works to talk about them, and not knowing his way in a situation. You know, my family and I are familiar enough with each other. I know their ways. You see my mom and dad here, my kids, my wife. And when they say something, you know, you talk with them. Some of you know who they are. But I know what they really mean when they say something, because I know their ways. When my wife says something to me, I know what she's really saying, not just what she's saying. I've broken the code. I know her ways. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. That doesn't mean nothing. That means you better ask at least 4 or 5 more times, or you're going to have a miserable afternoon. I know the code. Moses knew his ways, what moved him, what drove him, what animated all of the manifestations of his power and of his glory that the children of Israel beheld and they saw his works. But it says Moses knew his ways. And now down to verse 19, really, verse 18, verse 19, it begins to list his ways as we go through. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. Now this is the same thing it says when the Lord passes behind, in front of Moses, puts him in the rock, and Moses sees his hinder parts, and God says almost the same thing verbatim. The Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. Those are his ways. That's why he forgives our iniquity, our twistedness. That's why he heals the diseases of our soul. That's why he satisfies us with good things, not because we deserve it, but because it is his way. And David says that he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not harboring, like a human being, a grudge. He doesn't deal with us out of hurt feelings. He chastens us if we need instruction, but he doesn't always chide. That's not his way, to always be angry or accusing. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's his way. That's his way. God is not just merciful. I mean, he's merciful because he is by nature himself mercy. He doesn't just have mercy, he is mercy. It says God is love. He is merciful, full of mercy, because that's his way. He's merciful. We sing that song, he's a merciful, merciful, merciful God. You know, that's hard for us to receive in some ways. But Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He's not in heaven pleading before some angry-faced God on the throne. And God's not up there saying, "All right, you paid in your blood. You died on the cross. You rose again. I got to forgive them. They really bugged me. I just want you to know that. But Father, I died on the cross. I know. I got to forgive them. I don't really want to do it. But, you know, because of what you did." That's not what's happening. Jesus ever liveth and maketh intercession for the saints. And the God that he's praying before, God Almighty on the throne, is filled with mercy. And what's happening is all according to his own heart. In fact, the word mercy is printed 4 times as much in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. God is a merciful God. That's his way. And he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. That's human. To pay back. Make my day. Those are human expressions. Nor rewarded us according to our twistedness. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So here he speaks about the vertical and the horizontal of his mercy. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so high, so great is his mercy towards those that fear him. How high are the heavens, plural, above the earth? You know, you take a perpendicular line off the surface of the earth and you just start to shoot it out through the atmosphere and the stratosphere, out into outer space, out past Hubble for light years, millions of light years. There's no end. That's the vertical of his love. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy. On the horizontal, interesting, as far as the east is from the west. And he does, of course, a beautiful thing there. He doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because the earth is about 8,000 miles in diameter, you can only travel 12,500 miles north, and then you hit the North Pole, then you're heading south again. You go 12,500 miles south, you hit the South Pole, then you're headed north again. He doesn't remove our sins as far as the north is from the south. That would mean that he would only remove my sins from me about 12,500 miles. That's if I lived on the North Pole or South Pole, and I don't like the cold. And if he only removed my sin 12,000 miles, I'd find some way to get reunited. But if he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, you can travel east for a billion years and never be going west. And you can travel west for eternity and never be going east. And he removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions. That's his way. Don't forget his benefits, his blessings, all that he's done for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Again, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. To bless means to speak well of. It means to bow. It means to kneel. It means to praise. But just really, again, how often do we do that? We talked about that the other Sunday morning. To offer the Lord a free will offering. To bless him. To rise in the morning and to bless the Lord. How often do we do that? I don't do that every day. I mean, I guess I do as I walk around. But I don't just, sometimes I forget just to get alone somewhere and say, Father, thank you. I'm alive. I woke up another day. I'm breathing. I can see. I don't like what I look like when I look in the mirror when I see in the morning, but here I am, and another day, and thanks for all you've done. And you start to write that list, it will go on and on. You won't have enough time to do it. And again, parents live for that day. A mom who washes an endless mountain of wash near the washing machine and dryer that never, ever goes away, and washes dishes in a train of dishes that go on for years, lives for the day that a son or a daughter says, you know what? Thanks. You changed my diapers for years. You cleaned me up when I messed myself. You sat up with me in the middle of the night when I had fevers. He got me through school. He fed me for 20 years. You know, you must have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on food and clothing. I did. Thank you. Bless you. Those are the things that parents wait to hear. I walk with God now, not because he's your God, but now because he's my God. Thank you for not giving up on me. And as parents, if we live to hear that, just imagine what it is for the Lord, who loves us more than we love our earthly children, just to hear those things. I bless you, Father. You forgive. You heal. You satisfy. And more than that, those are not just your works. Those are your ways. And I know that your mercy is new every morning, that wave after wave after wave, your love comes toward me. Like as, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children. I remember loving this psalm when I was a new Christian, and you're kind of reading through the Bible, and sometimes you're doing this, you're letting it flip open when, you know, Lord speak to me, but just hitting the 103rd psalm for the first time and having my mind blown. I think, Lord, why? You don't deal with us according to our iniquities. You don't, Lord, you forgive. Lord, your mercy. Lord, as a father pities his children, so, Lord, you pity us. And a father pities his children, you know, differently than a mother pities her children. A mother pities her children in one way. I mean, my wife can pity our kids and all day long say, do this, don't do that. Do the, why are you doing this? Why are you going here? Don't go here. Why don't I? Didn't I hear what I told you? And the whole time she's pitying them. Then she finally says, when your father gets home. Wait till I tell him what you're doing. When he gets home. And then when I come home and she says, your son or your daughter. And then I think, you know, there's trouble. When I've produced this child alone, without a wife, now I know there's trouble. And I can tell by the tension that's in the house. Sure. Okay, just point me in a direction, honey. I'm ready to smack somebody. I don't even know what. I'll just beat somebody. Just show me. I'll settle it right down. It shouldn't be happening. You're right. Just show me. I'll whack somebody here. We'll settle it down. And of course, then she says, don't do that. Wait a minute. I'm just doing what you prophesied to them all day was going to happen when I come home. Now you're, you know. But how many times you sit up and, you know, kids are little. Those of you who have small children now, you know, when school starts, as soon as school starts, they're sick again. And they're sick all winter. We put it in our bulletin. If your kids have a fever, if they have a cold, please don't put your children in Sunday school. I remember when the kids are little, my wife wasn't in church sometimes for 3 months, trying to hit a day when they were all healthy at the same time, all four of them. And you look at them sitting in a tub, you know, they're sitting there, you're sponging them down, they have a fever, they're playing music, and you're thinking, and then finally you say, Lord, give me the fever. Just, if you give me the fever, I can sleep with a fever. If you give me the fever, we can all go to bed. I don't care. I'll be sick, Lord. Just let's all pass the fever over here, Lord. Just, you know. And isn't that what he did? Father, I'll take their sins. I'll take their punishment. I'll forgive their iniquities. I'll heal the diseases of their soul. I'll extend my mercy to them as far as the heavens are above the earth. I won't reward them according to their iniquities. I won't pay them back according to their transgressions. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, who stand in awe of him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth. Now remember, we forget here. We forget his benefits, but he remembers. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We don't. We forget sometimes. Same 17 elements in the dirt out there on the ball field is the same stuff you're made of. Same 17 elements. If you take the dirt out there on the ball field and you break it down chemically and you extract the 17 elements that are in the dirt in the ball field, and then we break you down chemically, we can put you out there and put the dirt in here and there's no difference. As far as the frame, same stuff. He remembereth that we are dust. We forget sometimes. Take ourselves too seriously. Start to strain and struggle. And then have to sit down again and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. For man, his days are as the grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. James tells us, but the grace of the fashion of it passeth away. The rich man passes away, as well as the poor man, James tells us. The wind here passes over, the sirocco, the hot wind that blows from the south, and it dries it up and it withers. We don't think that way about ourselves, at least not early on. If you're here tonight and you've seen your 60th birthday and your 70th birthday and your 80th birthday, I'm sure I could have someone stand up and say, yeah, life was like a dream, like a tale that was told, like the grass, the time. Time is a slippery substance. It's running between our fingers and has passed over me so quickly. That's all of our story. It may be told a thousand different ways. So this one did this and became a famous painter. This one became a musician. This one became a carpenter. This one became this. That one became this. And then there was divorce. And then there was this. And then there were twins born. And then this happened. And then they discovered this. And then they invented this. It's been told a thousand times with different names. And 10,000 times 10,000 times. And then that person, for with all of their story, they pass away. And the place where they were remembers them no more. Look, there are the Alexander the Greats and the Charlemagnes. There are far and few between. It's the exception, not the rule. Their names are written in a history book, and in that sense, they're remembered. But the vast majority of us, billions upon billions, live, die, we pass away. Those around us weep for us. They love us. The children's hearts are broken, the grandchildren's hearts are broken, but by the time the great-grandchildren are born and the great-great-grandchildren are born, and then they're saying, pulling out old black and white pictures, oh yeah, this was your great-grandfather, this was your great-grandmother. But within a few generations, the place that they were remembers them no more. Now there's a tremendous contrast here that God is setting up, but, verse 17, here's the contrast. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting, from beyond the vanishing point to everlasting, to beyond the vanishing point, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Though we may pass away in this world, the minute we close our eyes in this world, we open them in the next. And though the place of this world knew us no more, in the next world, from eternity to eternity to eternity to eternity, it says here that his mercy is upon us from everlasting to everlasting. He never forgets us. And the place that we have there is always lavished with his mercy and his remembrance. And that is the place where our names are written forever in heaven. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, and to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And the greatest of the commands is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbors, yourself. We know within these two are all the law and the prophets fulfilled. No, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all, even over the enemy, over all of the hardships of this life, over all of the things that cause us to forget his benefits, because that's his way. And his way is to show mercy when it's undeserved. His way is to show forgiveness when it's undeserved. His way is to pity us as a father pitieth his children. His way is to remember that we're dust. It isn't just his acts. It isn't just what he does. But it's who he is. He's not just the what he does God. He's the who he is God. I'm always amazed when I read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar is heating it up seven times. And if they refuse to bow down before him, they're going to be thrown into the furnace. And they say, Nebuchadnezzar, our God, the living God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. And if not, we will not bow our knees to you. Nah, 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 nah. No, they didn't say that. And if not, what they're saying is we worship him because of who he is, not because of what he does. This isn't, oh, we're going to worship him as long as he delivers, but if you throw us in that fire, we ain't worshiping him. No, no, no. And if not, we are not going to bow our knee before you. And it's because of who he is. You know, the interesting thing is we do a funeral. At a funeral, more often than not, what's spoken about is the character of the person. He was a faithful husband. He was an understanding father. He was compassionate. He was dedicated. Things the poor guy never heard while he was alive. But nobody says, you should have seen this guy with a chainsaw. Or this guy could really drive a rig. You know, people don't talk about what he did so much at that point in time as what he was, who he was, his ways, not his works, his ways. And that's what David is talking about in this psalm. Not forgetting the benefits of the Lord because of his ways. And David... David is a man who could have been tempted in many circumstances to forget his benefits, who went through horrendous circumstances, and was even able to say in all of that, his way. Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. There was no sacrifice for adultery. It was a capital crime. You were put to death. There was no sacrifice for murder. It was a capital crime. You were put to death. Sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a broken, a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's his way. And David is amazed with it. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. And we look in the book of Revelation and Isaiah and many places, we see the angels blessing the Lord, singing his praises, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, the angelic hosts, no doubt. Ye ministers of his, Hebrews, send forth a minister of the heirs of salvation, that do his pleasure, the angels. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Of course, there's only one problem. In all of creation, the animals are in their migratory patterns. The weather patterns are established. The tides are established. The orbits of planets are established. The circuit of the heaven. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. And then David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the one place that's out of kilter sometimes, isn't it? You're all looking at me like you don't understand. That's the place where sometimes we're saying, Lord, you set me up. You told me you love me. You promised me a more abundant life. You told me that your mercies are new every morning. And then here I am with this sickness. Here I am with this difficulty. Here I am with this. Lord, why is this happening? You got me out on a limb. You told me to get out of the boat and walk on the water. And now all of this stuff is happening around us. Saul is chasing me. He wants to kill me. He's been pursuing me for years. Now he's chasing me with his javelin. I've had to leave my best friend, Jonathan. I have to leave my mentor, Samuel. My family is disintegrating. David had illness, we find out from some of the Psalms. But he could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The inner man, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy soulish diseases, who satisfies thy desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's his way, to forgive, to be merciful, when it's undeserved. The scripture ends in the book of Revelation by saying, let any man who thirsts come and drink of the water of life freely. The Greek word is undeservedly. Let anyone come and drink of the water of life undeservedly, because that's the only way we can drink of it. We can never deserve it. We can never earn it. If we're going to partake of the things that he has for us, the only way we can receive them is by faith. We have to receive them by faith because no one has ever given anything to us on those terms before. There's always conditions. You know, it's Christmas time. Your aunt or your grandma is going to give you something that is ugly. A lamp or a picture. And you're going to put it out when she comes over your house. Then she's going to go back to Nebraska. And in 3 years when she comes to visit, you're going to say, where's that thing? Get it out, dust it off, put it on. Because when she's going to come, she's going to say, where is it? Where's that thing I gave you? It cost me 49 cents at the flea market. You give it, don't get rid of stuff like that. We're used to the strings being attached to everything. No strings attached. You come and drink undeservedly his mercy, his forgiveness, his love, his benefits, his way.